Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, February 6, 2008. The only Ash Wednesday 2008 in the history of humanity and religion. Let us choose to make it a great one anyway. Welcome in on this Wednesday night edition of Glenn Klein Online, the Gospel Revolution taking to the air once again, and a special edition, a 90-minute special edition, as we commenced the 2008 Winter Pledge Drive. And please welcome online from his home in beautiful Houston, Texas, the legendary president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Glenn, happy, good evening.
Happy Ash Wednesday to you.
Happy Ash to you, too.
There's a talk radio show called Cigar Dave, and it's all about cigars. And he always has his listeners, instead of saying mega dittos or dittos like they do to Rush Limbaugh, he has his listeners say long ashes to you, General. He calls himself the Cigar General. So long Ash Wednesday to you.
Well, I receive. I believe.
And you ready to raise some money tonight?
Let's do it. I'm ready, and I think everybody else is too.
Well, I hope you understand, folks, that we do need your help. Over the next 21 days, we are going to be raising the budget for Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution for the next 3 months. And our goal over the next 21 days is $12,500 divided by $6,250 in one-time gifts is our goal, and $6,250 in annual monthly giving. It's the monthly giving that really helps us out, the people that are consistent with their monthly giving. And obviously, either we have to have people for that second part of the goal step up for their first time giving, or increase their giving, which is always much appreciated. We have our phone lines available to take your calls, your questions, your donations, your pledges at 1-800-436-3260. That's 1-800-436-3260. Patrick L. Jones standing by to take your calls, and we ask you to send us the amount so we can count them towards our goals to the email address at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Michael, it's really important for us to get off to a good start tonight and early. There's something about I've been doing pledge drives for a long time in public radio, and of course in the last year with our webcast. And there's just something about the momentum that gets going. It's a psychological thing, but you know, we're willing to play by whatever psychological rules there are, and we really need people to get on board right away at 1-800-436-3260, or email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And in the meantime, we will take your questions, and we'll get to the questions we can get to this evening. But we can't stress enough, Mike, that this is the way that we pay the bills. And
that's true.
There's been a lot of comments from people over time that, well, why don't you guys just trust God and not say have to say a thing about it? And we tried that route for about 10 years, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, at least, maybe a little bit longer.
that didn't work so good.
No, I was kind of like Hillary. I was contributing money to my own campaign.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton, for those of you who did not see that, had to lend her presidential campaign $5 million as Barack Hussein Obama was getting over $32 million in donations last month. So
we want to be Obama. We don't want to be Hillary.
So why don't you give folks an idea of where the money goes to, Michael? And I know that $12,500 does not sound like a lot of money spread over 3 months, but for us, it's the difference between being able to keep this effort going and not.
Well, yes, absolutely. And, there, whereas in previous times, everybody was contributing, we're now paying some fees out for the broadcast, for our technical part of our broadcast, and which is well deserved, I should say, and the just the expenses of just being around and going and doing is my goodness, there's cost for printing. There's just, I can't think of anything that doesn't have cost. I'm very glad to report that for the first time in several years, actually, so far this year in January and February, the ministry has been able to pay me a check each week. It's the first time I've gotten a weekly check. My salary now with the ministry is $40,000 a year, and that is everything all included. And so far, at the beginning in January, I actually got a check at first, and this all changed just at the with the end of the last pledge drive. I actually get a salary. I'm kind of pinching myself here. So yes, and then of course just the cost of traveling to places and covering expenses. So we appreciate your help. As I say, it's and once you begin to surface with funds coming in, of course, there's places where those funds go, and they're certainly being absorbed. And but thank God. I mean, you just don't. I mean, folks. I mean, I was homeless for almost 3 years. As far as having my own place, I've stayed with people. I've done everything I could to survive, and to now be in a situation to where that because of the people giving. For the first time in about in several years, I'm actually drawing a regular salary. So far, I'm drawing a regular salary from the ministry once again.
And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, that when we started the webcast a year ago last fall, we had the one phone line. We couldn't take any other calls. We now have three phone lines. We have the ability to do features like we've done with the Legalist of the Week. So there are expenses. Those phone lines stay there all week long and waiting for the next webcast. And we are in a situation where we need your help. So we're asking tonight to get online at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you're going to do, either in a one-time gift or on a monthly basis. 1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free line to call with your comments and also your pledges tonight. And for $100 or more in giving, you will receive free and postage paid the brand new CD, teaching CD called Soul Possession, Soul, S-A-U-L, Possession. And I can't wait to hear more about that. We have a caller, Patrick?
Yes, we have Pep.
Oh, good. Our good buddy Pep Washburn calling Wisconsin. Pepe, how are you?
Actually, I think I'm brain dead.
Well, we know that, Pat. Tell us something we don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Shoveling too much snow up there.
You guys had like blizzard conditions up there the last day, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
How much snow did you get?
Well, actually, south of us is what got hit. Here in central Wisconsin, we only got about 6 inches day before yesterday.
Oh, that's not bad, but it's pretty cold up there.
Supposed to drop to zero again by Thursday and Friday.
Nice. Well, warm it up by a week from Friday, because that's when I'm coming back, Glenn.
Yeah.
Especially for Glenn.
So, hey, I'm gonna send in $100.
That's
awesome.
Great. That gets us off to a great start, Pep. And, of course, Pep hosted Mike in November, wasn't that?
It was.
A meeting in central Wisconsin.
Yes, it was. We had a wonderful time. Great group of people. And,
and Mike abandoned me and went to California. It was warm.
That is true.
Pep and I were in the same church in Wisconsin when I lived there year round. And Pat, we were steeped in it, in the religious charismatic world, and we kind of came out together. And why don't you talk, Pep, a little bit about the process and how Mike's teaching and ministry more than assisted in that process?
Well, actually, I would say about 4 or 5 years before my the process really got rolling, Mike was speaking in Wisconsin Rapids, and I went down and heard him. And what he was speaking on at that time was you could probably call it, you know, a radical grace perspective, known in more of the legalistic circles as the greasy grace perspective.
Sloppy agape.
Sloppy agape.
Anyway, when I got done listening there in Rapids for a couple nights, things just started to click in my mind, things that I had really felt in my heart, you know, for a long time. And at that point, then I kind of, that was the catalyst to keep me going, investigate more. And Mike and I kind of ran a parallel path then. I probably got back in touch with him maybe just a couple years later and, you know, saw where he was going, is kind of to check on myself to see, well, now, if somebody else is going this way, maybe I can trust myself. So I've gotten more confident in trusting myself over the years. And anyway, that's just a short synopsis of how things got rolling.
And the people that were at the meeting that you hosted, Pep, and many people in the central Wisconsin area that you've been in contact with have been majorly impacted by the gospel of grace and peace. I mean, people know where you're coming from now, don't they?
Oh, yes, definitely. And it's interesting that one of the things that I have learned, which is not part of my personality, I've had to modify my personality, and that is not to push things so hard. You just throw out what, you know, to the best of your knowledge, is the truth, and you let it simmer. And over the years, I've seen probably 20 or more people who initially, upon hearing the perspective, said, this is not possible, you know, no way. And over the years, as I said, better than 20 people have now come around and said, I wonder why I didn't see this in the first place. So if you just let the Spirit do the work, you know.
Mike, what does the Bible have to say, Michael, about allowing that process to happen?
Well, of course, there's anything that has to do with the spiritual aspect, of course, all of the teaching in the Bible from the Old Testament to the New compares it to nature itself. And Paul said nature itself would teach you the gospel, and nature never does anything that is overnight unless it's destructive, and we don't want to destroy anybody. So, but anything that has to do with planting a seed, with letting it grow, nurturing, waiting for a harvest to come in, it's certainly all a part of anything, whether it's Christian or Buddhist or whatever. Actually, it is. There's always the element that patience is involved, and I know for me personally, it's been tremendous to when I came to a conclusion that everyone was redeemed. Of course, that really liberated my heart from having to try to persuade people. And I began to realize, and one of the verses that really, really helped instruct my heart was from Proverbs. It says that deep calleth to deep. And so I believe that what is deep inside of me, the depths of the grace of God and the mystery of the gospel, and the redemption that has come through that is also very deep in anybody else. And I think just as, you know, it's an incredibly encouraging thing to be persuaded, at least, that what you're saying is already there in people's hearts and that they identify with it regardless of what their initial response is. You know that the long term is on the side of the gospel, and thus the long term is on our side.
That's awesome stuff. And Pep, members of your family, your daughter, your son-in-law, they understand this gospel. And
Yes.
And
even Margie, who is in the other room making popcorn for our movie this evening, has been quite resistant. But a number of months back, she said, "You know, you may be right, but I'm not quite ready to admit it yet."
That's awesome. Pep's got us off to a great start with a $100 donation, and for that $100, you're going to be receiving the new CD, Pep, Soul Possession. Michael, why don't you talk about what that teaching's about a little bit, and give Pep and the folks an idea of what is contained in Soul Possession?
Yeah, well, that teaching was done here at Freedom Worship Center, and the church that I am a member of. I'm still getting used to those terms again, but it's very delightfully getting used to it anyway. But yes, I taught that, and it's just the verse where Jesus said, "With patience possess ye your souls." And so we just extrapolated that out. Of course, patience being the fruit of the Spirit, and involving the fruit of the Spirit and the possession, soul possession, and the fact that Jesus did not set us free to take possession of our souls. As evangelical Christianity teaches, Jesus actually set us free so that we could take possession of our own soul. And radical idea in spirituality of any brand or breed, but it is one that gives, it doesn't force responsibility, it gives responsibility to each person over their own soul. And once you know that you have possession, that you have responsibility for your own soul, you can take possession of your own soul. But it is things like the fruit of the Spirit, patience, that gives you possession over your own soul. And man, I tell you what, I tried to give my soul to God. I tried to give my soul to everything. And then when this became a reality to me, and the reality of the teaching of Jesus himself was, with patience possess ye your own soul. He did not redeem me to possess me. He redeemed me to set me free. And he didn't redeem me so I could be like him. He redeemed me so I could be myself, and that myself is plenty good enough, and that in itself should give expression to the work of the cross, because you can't be a better you than what you are. And through the confidence that there is in the gospel, it not only gives you the ability to, and I know has given me the ability to accept myself without guilt or without having to judge somebody else. And when you can't accept yourself, Glenn, you're going to have to go through those two things, which, according to Paul, the two things that the gospel will free you from, and the power of the gospel is not registered, according to Paul's teaching, by what it adds to your life. It's registered by what it takes away from your life. And the two things that Paul said that it would take away from our lives is condemnation and guilt, and also judgment for other people. And that for me has just been the greatest journey that I have ever been on, is to take possession of my own soul, and to realize that I'm worth taking possession of my own soul, that Jesus found the worth in me to set me free so I could take possession of my own soul. I realize that, you know, just as I'm talking about this, I know that the thought is absolutely radical. It seems so everyday to me anymore, But I have to stop and realize, Glenn, that this is not common thought. Once your heart has been set free, sometimes it's difficult to connect with the fact that this is not the common way of thinking. It seems so easy to think this way now that you forget that we have an entire world in bondage.
Well, and speaking of that, what about when people say that they are not in possession of their own soul, but that they are being possessed by a devil or a demon? We hear that not only in the church, but in the popular culture. Heath Ledger, who passed away a couple of weeks ago, unfortunately, apparently from an accidental overdose of drugs, they said that he was dealing with demons. What do you make of all that, Michael?
Well, I think the dealing with your own demons and things like that, thank God it has become a generic term anymore that people don't really believe. They don't really believe, as far as the majority of population, that it is an entity of itself that he is dealing with, but his own self. When you hear people say, he's had his own demons, it's kind of like saying we all have our own problems. Far from the implication of what I went through in the demonology seminars that we used to hold. And to anybody that thinks that they are possessed of a demon, I'd just say take possession back,
Well, what about the manifestations of speaking in a different voice or being so violent and things that that we've seen? I mean, that we cannot deny that we've seen them. What's going on with that?
Well, I can tell you, the only thing I can do, of course, is tell you my own experience. I have seen things that all of those things were very well explainable. I know other people, though, who say that they have seen much more, but I mean, my goodness, I was proclaimed by many to be America's foremost authority on demonology. I hung around with Lester Summerall, who was a big demonologist, and Norval Hayes. And everything was explainable. I mean, in the end of the day, everything was, even in my own case of, quote, going through deliverance, the manifestations of throwing up, it was expected. I remember so well. I was so desperate for help. And it was explained to me before my own experience that, sometimes people throw up. Well, if throwing up's what you got to do, I mean, you almost self-induce it. I, of course, do not have the answer for everybody's experience. And if other people believe that they've had these experiences and that they are real, then to them they are real. I'm not trying to take away from that. But the power that we are advocating is that there is no power that is greater than the power of the gospel. As Paul said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And salvation, meaning that term, where that mind and the emotions comes to a state of stability because of the gospel. And there isn't a demon that can resist that stability. I believe it's in 2 Peter. It says it's a good thing that the heart becomes established in grace. The term established means to be stabilized. And anytime that people talks about, anything demonic, of course, it's destabilizing. But I can tell you, everything that needed to be stabilized in my life, which I was taught needed to be cast out, in the long run, it wasn't something that needed to be cast out. It was something that needed to be stabilized. And that was my heart. Because I tell you what, Glenn, when you feel alienated and separated from God, your mind can't imagine anything. Now, is there demon possession? I can tell you that in the years the many years that I was involved in it, I am not convinced that I actually saw true demon possession. And yes, we had people to bark, we had people to scream, we had deep voices, we had rolling eyes. I was on the platform in Michigan in a church of about 900 people, and a guy came up and asked me to it was a very distinguished looking gentleman, and he came and said to Mike, "I've driven several hundred miles, I don't remember how far now," and he said, "I have a spirit of lust. Would you please cast it out of me?" And of course I was in those days, and I said sure. And so the church crowd was dismissed, and the platform was up quite high, of course, in a church that size. And so anyway, I put my hand on this very conservative-looking gentleman's head, and I yelled, as I was trained to do, "In Jesus' name, come out!" And all of a sudden, this guy went into a wild gyration, and how it happened, I still cannot tell you, but somehow my hand got caught in his tie and shirt, and he went to the floor, I went to the floor. When he rolled over, with no exaggeration, he was on his knees, and I was across his back, and he was bucking like a horse, and I was riding like a cowboy.
Uh-oh.
And it was hilarious. The pastor, I looked over at the pastor like, "Help," and he's off in the corner laughing himself crazy at what's going on. And so suddenly the guy just kind of rolls over. I was able to free myself from his tie, and he stood up, straightened his tie, straightened his jacket, and said, "Thank you very much, Mr. Williams," and walked off the platform. But I still think that was all a mind game for him. Was it real to him? It was very real. But when you're dealing with things that you desperately need to feel are no longer obstacles between you and God, you will submit to anything, including taking a whip and whipping your own back with blood streaming down and walking down through the streets. And you'll even stand on the side of the streets hoping that some of that blood will sprinkle on you for hope of cleansing. People will do anything. The power of the gospel to free the psyche from this horrible swings like that is so powerful. And it especially to not have to identify mental and emotional problems as demons is one of the most powerful things that I've ever been able to share with people. Because I've dealt with, of course, many of the same type of situations, and instead of telling people they had a demon, I've told people that they had problems with depression, or you've got problems with being out of control of your own life or whatever. And so what is the remedy? Well, you preach the gospel to them, such as Paul did to the church at Corinth, who had a plethora of problems, as was reported, that there was all kinds of illicit acts. They were getting drunk for communion. They were pigging out at communion. They were worshiping the leadership. And yet it is the letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is the strongest chapter in the entire New Testament, where Paul made sure that they understood that the law was the ministry of death, and it had been absolutely canceled out, that it had been done away with. And Paul saw the stability, not giving these people the moral gauge by which they should live, but the stability which they could live out of was the ministry of being freed from the law and being established in grace, not somebody casting the devil out of them.
So you think that guy ever lusted again after that?
Well, based on the experience of some other people. I think he probably did. But was he demon-possessed? See, that's the thing, you know. Goodness, we just have to deal with ourselves. But, again, maybe worth $100 our CD with Patience, Possess Ye Your Own Soul. So if people are concerned about demon possession, try possessing yourself. For people who's trying desperately to give their soul to God, please understand, Jesus died to give you your own soul back to you, so that you would have this autonomy over your own emotions and over your own psyche. But it comes, it's birthed out of freedom. It's birthed out of knowing that your identity is a settled issue and that there is no schism between you and God. That is so destructive to the mind and the heart to perceive or conceive that there is some wall, that there is a division, a separation between oneself and God, and it will create all kinds of religious thought and diversions away from reality to such vast degrees that people will pursue the most unusual ways to find peace in their own hearts. And if by and with me, I went through somebody casting devils out of me. Well, everybody declared that I was free, and that meant I fit in the group. It was the first group I ever fit in my life. So, of course, I affirmed, yes, I just got set free. Yes, the demon left. Yes. And everybody loved me. Everybody thought I was great because I had just been delivered. But, boy, I tell you what, the years of trying to walk out a deliverance from, quote, demon possession. Man, I tell you what, I eventually had to deal with my, quote, my own demons, and thank God in the most generic term, that I realized this is just Mike Williams. I've got to deal with him. And there is a power called the gospel that can give me the upper hand in this situation and give me a place to where that I don't have to be subject to me anymore, that I am in control of me. You know, I'm not waiting for God to take control over me. I'm not fearing that the devil's going to take control over me, but that with the power which Jesus has given at the cross to purge our conscience from dead works, that truly does give a person possession over their own soul. And it is the most powerful thing that can possibly ever happen to a human being, is to come into possession of yourself. And like I say, Glenn, I realize that that is probably one of the most unorthodox thoughts in the Christian community that's ever been stated, that Jesus died to give you possession of yourself. But I believe it, and it has been something that for me, that experiencing that has been life-altering. Has my life changed? Yes. Did my life change from, quote, having the devil cast out of me? It changed drastically. But that world came crushing down as I had to deal with reality. But now the issue of accepting who I am, and that, number one, accepting the fact that in the presence of God I stand absolutely holy and perfect, and the stability that has given me over, quote, my personal demons, if you will, my goodness, one thing I can tell you is that there is nothing in charge of my soul except me. And I hold myself completely responsible for every action, for every decision in my life. I don't blame the devil. I don't invoke the name of God. And that, to me, is freedom.
Well, that's also a good commercial for Soul Possession, the CD that we are offering as our thank you premium on the Winter Pledge Drive. This is the first night of the Winter Pledge Drive on the Gospel Revolution webcast. This is Glenn Klein online. Pep Washburn apparently went to watch his movie with Marge, but we appreciate. Boy, he's watching movies. He better repent.
He may lose possession of his soul.
Or not. But Pep got us off to a great start. This is the Winter Pledge Drive, the first night of the Winter Pledge Drive, and we need you to get on the phone and continue the momentum. 1-800-436-3260. We've got two phone lines available for you to call. Talk to Michael. 1-800-436-3260 is the number. And email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. You can go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage. Just click on Please Donate and Please Donate. Our goal over the pledge drive over these next 21 days is to raise $12,500 for our operating budget over the next 3 months. And as I said, for a $100 gift, either in total or a one-time gift, you will receive free and postage paid. The brand new teaching that Mike was talking about called Soul Possession. And we need your help. Divided it off over these 3 weeks, we need to raise over this week $4,166.66666666 to get to our goal for this week. And that all totaled over 21 days will get us to that 12.5. So Patrick Jones is waiting to talk to you, and we're waiting to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, or as I said, please go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage. If you're listening on the archive, anything that you donate this week will go towards our goal this week, and then just email us and let us know what you did so we can count it towards that goal at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Well, Michael, as we said at the outset of the webcast, this is Ash Wednesday. It is a Catholic tradition that goes way back, and they always do it 40 days out from Easter Sunday. And it's a sign. You see people. And how I knew that it was Ash Wednesday is because Dawn and I were watching ESPN this evening. We were watching Pardon the Interruption, and Tony Reale, who's one of the guys on the show, had some ashes on his forehead. And Dawn said, "Why is his forehead dirty?" And I said, "Well, I'll bet you it's Ash Wednesday. I didn't even realize it."
Wow.
And she said, "No, it's too early for Ash Wednesday." But this is the start of what they call the Lent season. And so I looked up exactly what it's all about, and it is a sign of sorrow. It's a sign of being sorry and,
wow,
and to repent from your sin and from your wicked ways. You ever feel sorry, Michael, towards God anymore?
No. I honestly, I can follow all of the directives by given in the Psalms to praise the Lord at all times. I just don't feel sorrow or regret. Number one, because of this incredible freedom in the gospel. And, man, I tell you what, if you're ever willing to stop shirking responsibility and take possession of your own soul and stop blaming everybody else, I tell you what, there'll be nothing but thankfulness left there. And it doesn't mean that all of life's going to be please understand, I'm not talking about that everything in life is going the way that I want it to. But it's the fact that you know that no matter what is happening, that especially the negative things that are happening, you know this is not any consequences, spiritual consequences to something you have done inadequately or wrong or sinful. It's just life. And, man, I tell you what, Glenn, breaking away from that is the most important thing that I know, that the goal as far as ministry and sharing the gospel, you know, people say, well, do you want to see an outcome? Yes. the outcome I want to see is that by embracing the gospel that we share, is that people break away from that nightmare and not going around sorrowing before God. Because if I measured myself against God's law, I would be in sorrow 24 hours a day, or a religious hypocrite, one of the two. And I'm telling you that you don't have to do either, that you can be free. You can walk free and live in that freedom and not going around questioning what God's role is or is not in something. Does that mean that I do not believe that God has a role in something or not? If he does, he does. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But see, it's trying to figure those things out, and labeling everything that just, for me, became insane. It just became utterly insane. I tried to organize all my thoughts based on good and evil, and everything that good happened to me, God got the credit. Everything that bad happened to me, the devil got the blame. And for a while, that organized my thoughts. But it was like learning how to juggle. And I learned to juggle, and I did it good. But, you know, you can't juggle 24 hours a day. At some point, you're going to miss. At some point, you got to take a break. And the juggling did. I will never deny the degree of stability that I gained from grabbing hold of that form of belief. And started juggling and blaming everything on giving God the credit or blaming the devil. God the credit or blame the devil. God the credit, blame the devil. God gets credit, blame the devil. And believe me, for a person whose thoughts were as overboard as mine and absolutely just out of control, it did organize my thoughts. But in the long run, it only created an even more disastrous situation that I had to stop and allow the salvation of my soul to begin. I had been out preaching for years, getting people converted and, quote, getting them saved, when in reality the doctrine that I was preaching and what I had believed was preventing my own soul from being saved. And I'm not talking about saved from hell. I'm talking about being saved from that mentality of good and evil. And my goodness, what liberty. Jeez, oh my goodness. So, yeah, we do. I do have a goal in mind of what I would like to see happen in the hearts and minds of people who embrace this gospel. And I was just talking today to my good friend and supporter of this ministry also, Mike Matzey. Mike, if you're out there, give us a call. Mike was asking some questions, and we got into some conversation about these very things. And the reality, you know, begins to set in. The gospel begins to take effect, and you begin to come into a stabilization of the heart and the emotions that just have been out of grasp and out of reach. But you know what, Glenn, it takes a long time to identify that the reason that they are so unstable is because of trying to figure out what God's role is in my moment-by-moment living. I don't deny that he's there. But for me to think that I've got the ability to figure out what that is, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go there anymore. It's just the ability for that to destabilize the mind and heart is just unparalleled to anything else that I know. And the stronger that my understanding has become in the gospel, apart from law and apart from guilt and apart from judgment, is the stronger that my heart has become to face whatever life has to offer. And I don't have to stop and try to figure out, you know, is it God? Is it the devil? It's just life. And if God wants to get involved, and he is involved, to whatever degree he's involved, that's his business. It's not mine, and it's not mine to try to figure out.
1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline, and also the Winter Pledge Drive hotline tonight. We are starting to raise the operating budget for the next 90 days for the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries, and we're taking your pledges and your questions tonight. And we know there's people listening all over the world right now. We need you to pick up the phone at 1-800-436-3260 to not only let us know you're out there, but to encourage everybody else who's listening either live or on the archive. And let us know what you'll do. Our goal is to raise $12,500 over these next 21 days. We're not promising you anything but a good feeling and a sense of well-being to help this effort. I've got a question here that we'll get into about a minister's appeal for giving, but we're appealing tonight to you folks who have been blessed and touched and transformed by the gospel that we share. 1-800-436-3260, or you can email us what your pledges are going to be at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. For gifts of $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid the brand new teaching series by Michael, or the teaching CD, I should say, Soul Possession. And we really do need to hear from you. Pep Washburn, our friend from Wisconsin, got us off to a good start with a $100 donation, and Pep will be receiving the Soul Possession CD as well. Our goal this week is $4,166. That will get us a third of our way to our goal of $12,500. And we can't do it without you folks. Your financial assistance is absolutely pivotal in moving this thing forward. And a lot more people, especially, Michael, that are Christians, that are in the church, need to hear that God is not pissed off with them, or anybody else for that matter. You know, we had this horrible storm go through old stomping ground of Tennessee and the central part of the country. Over 50 people lost their lives. And it's so wonderful to know that those people that did perish in the last 24 hours, whether they did in that storm or just passed away all over the planet, immediately were ushered in to the presence of God. And we have an assurance, a blessed assurance, that you have articulated so beautifully. So, folks, support that tonight, please, whether you're listening live or on the archive. We know a lot of you folks do listen at your convenience on the archive. We still do need your help, though. And please, if you're listening on the archive, email us and let us know what you're going to do at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Michael made the request for our good friend Mike Matzey from California call, and here he is, Michael Matzey, calling from beautiful, sunny California. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, I feel like I'm becoming a regular.
Well, you know how all the newscasts and they have regular contributors, you know.
Am I a Williams News contributor?
You're a gospel correspondent, a Gospel Revolution correspondent, and you're a Gospel Revolution talking head.
Couldn't think of anything better to do with my life at this point, I'll tell you. We have just been getting our socks blessed off. I mean, in the ways that, you know, money can't buy kind of things, you know, which is really good. Money we can always use, and, you know, that department we're working on, but, there's just a lot of good things going on, you know.
And Vinny. You were having a conversation with Michael earlier.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Well, we've been having a few, but today I had called, he responded to an email that I had sent him a few days ago. As I've been just stuck on finding out what in the world the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was, and I thought I had a what Mike used to call them, heavy revies, and I sent him an email. I also sent it to John Adair, and we had discussed that, and then he got back to me about that, and I could see if I could dig it up because I don't remember exactly what I sent him about it. But today, yesterday I'm sitting there meditating on all this good stuff that's been going on in my life, getting all these, you know, getting what Mike was saying, you know, understanding as opposed to just knowledge, you know, head knowledge or, you know, reading the Bible and being inspired or those kind of things, you know, but actual understanding that you can actually get a hold of, and it becomes real, and it's like a living thing, and it becomes alive in your life, and it just becomes a part of you, and it never leaves. You don't have to, it's something you don't have to study. It just comes. It's mind-boggling almost. So anyway, I'm thinking yesterday, well, you know, what in the world am I supposed to do with the rest of my life, you know, kind of thing, you know, what do you do now, you know? And then, you know, I just heard the words from the Bible, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And I'm thinking, why could have been talking about believing? I've been going around and around with this group of guys on a message board on the internet with one of the stocks that I'm involved with. Anyway, I kind of wound up over there because one of the guys on the board got contentious. He's evangelical. And these guys, you know, their whole thing is you got to believe, and you have to repent of your sins. And if you don't do that, then you're not really saved. So yesterday I'm thinking that, and the words come, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then I thought, and this had to be God because I don't think this way. What did he believe? What was it that he believed that God accounted it to him for righteousness? And when I was talking to Mike today, I said the only conclusion I could come to, and it was bigger than usually the standard answer, is, well, he believed that God was going to give him a son, and that was what that verse is about in Genesis, I believe it's 16. But I think it goes so much deeper than that. When Abraham believed God, it was like I think he had just resigned himself to, you know what, God is good. And all this bad stuff that may be going on around me or the things that I don't understand, I'm just going to have to basically ignore them and I just believe that God is good.
Or how about this, that the son that God promised him was as a type and a foreshadow of the Son of God would be accounted unto him righteousness.
Which is what? But what, see, go deeper. Now, what is that? But where does that come from? That comes from the love of God, the goodness and the greatness and the love and the magnificence of Almighty God. That's what he believed, that God was so good and so big that regardless of what had happened in the garden, that Adam had chosen to go to this and eat of this tree, he decided he wanted to live by the law, is basically what I had heard the other day. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was later revealed to be the law to Moses. So what Abraham was saying was that regardless of all this, I'm going to live knowing that he's good and that he's big enough to fix the mess that Adam created by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Well, Michael,
so
listen.
Saying that Adam's belief actually was he refused to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil anymore, to try to label God based on the knowledge of good and evil and believe that God is nothing but good.
Right.
And instead of filled with wrath and punishment and anger.
That's
exactly.
Stuff.
He saw that there is no evil in God. That wherever this other stuff was coming from, it was regardless of where it was coming from, it was not coming from God.
Well, Mike, we've got another call. Did you want to make a contribution towards the pledge drive tonight?
Not tonight. I told Mikey we're still in the process here. As soon as it's hard for me to do that right now. I mean, I'm going like I'm on pure. Where's it going to come from next week? Kind of thing, you know. So yeah, no, I'm in, but you know, I can't.
All right. Well, let us know what you're going to do, when you're going to do it. All right.
I will.
Thanks, my brother.
Sure.
We've got another call.
All right.
That's Mike Matzy from California, and now we want to bring on Bruce from Kentucky. Bruce, you're online with Michael Williams. How are you this Wednesday evening?
I'm good, Glenn. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully.
Hey, Bruce. Yeah. Hi, Mike. Well, listen, I just wanted to encourage other people to support the work, and I'll say that I came to the conclusion, or came to the point of making this phone call because I was thinking about over the years how, and I think, Glenn, I just sent an email to you regarding this, that over the years it seemed that Mike made reference a lot of times to the folks in Canada, and, Wade and Rowan are the only two names that I can recall. But it seems that they supported Mike and the message that he shares when help was hard to find for Mike. And I'm thankful for that. And because they supported it, Mike was able to continue doing what he was doing and was encouraged to do what he was doing because someone encouraged him and supported him. And I think just based on that alone, if they hadn't, we might not be talking on the telephone now. Who knows? But I do know this, that in light of what they did in supporting it, I feel like I can do nothing less than support it myself, in hopes that further down the road somebody else will make a similar phone call. So I'm going to pledge $100 tonight.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Thank you very much, Bruce. And
thank you.
Did you guys survive the weather okay down there?
Yeah, it was actually the last couple of days. It's been, the weather was nice until last night when the storms came through. But we had a couple of days where it was 70. I think it was 70 one day, 60 another. On February 3rd and 4th. I mean, that's unbelievable for this part of the country. But it was nice. In fact, some of the wildflowers we've been trying to push up. it's been that nice up here. So. But the weather kind of made a turn last night, and today it was nice. It was sunny, but, of course, the cold front's coming through now.
But none of the tornadoes came through?
Not through here,
Kentucky.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for that. So.
Indeed.
But anyway, I do want to say, I don't know if the folks in Canada can, if any of them listen to the webcast, but I want to extend, and just tell them that I'm thankful that they supported Mike and supported the work. And that because of, what they did, we're all able to have this conversation now. So I'm thankful for them, especially for Wade and Rowan and a lot of things. My wife occasionally will go back and listen to some of the older cassettes. And of course, Wade was on many of them. And she said, that guy's just, what he shares, I get it. But, yeah. I've heard other people say that they really appreciated what Wade had to say. And of course, I remember on the last one he said he was like a rusty gate or something on the series that I listened to just recently. But everything that he shares is relevant and we enjoy him and we appreciate him and thankful for the folks in Canada and because they were willing to give and to support Mike and the Gospel Revolution. We're able to to be partakers of that today. So I'm thankful for them, wanted to say thanks to them and encourage other folks who are being blessed by what Mike's sharing. And they're able to, as Mike would say, just live life now, apart from, being caught up in legalism, actually able to experience life and the joy that's found in this gospel that I just want to encourage them to call in and support the work so that somebody else might be able to make the same phone call.
Well, we appreciate it a lot, Bruce, and we're very thankful for you, too, and everything that you're doing in the bluegrass state. So,
always. Thank you so much, Bruce.
Yeah, we're just, I'll just tell you this briefly. On Wednesday nights, I know Mike had a thing on the seven pillars of wisdom a while back called Wisdom for the True Believer, and I think there was some indication at the time that you were thinking about hopefully writing a book called Wisdom for the True Believer. And we're trying to create a curriculum on Wednesday nights around those seven pillars. So we have started teaching the seven pillars, from Proverbs 9, verse 1. We're, establishing a curriculum where we're teaching those seven doctrines and that establish us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace and peace. And being where I'm at, I don't know if you're familiar with this part of the country, but I didn't know when I started out whether it was going to be effective or not, but every week somebody says something and you say they're getting it, and it makes it all worthwhile.
So we are developing a curriculum around that.
It doesn't make a difference where you are in the country or the world. The gospel is, that's the beautiful thing about it. And we're not ashamed of this gospel, you know. It's the power of God unto salvation.
No, that's true.
For everyone.
Yeah.
So, Bruce,
thanks for the encouragement, Bruce.
Thanks so much, and stay in touch, all right?
All right. We love you, man.
Love you, too, Bruce. It's Bruce Gosey from Kentucky, who's contributed $100 towards the goal, and he will also receive the thank you premium, the new teaching CD called Soul Possession. Good name, Michael.
It absolutely is, and I'm going to. That's going to turn into a series, actually. And one thing also, Gwen, you know, one of the things that made our, especially our last pledge drive successful, especially among, in the area of monthly contributions, it was as much new people who were coming on board, but it was also the thing that really put us over the top was that those who were already committed to giving had increased. We had one that doubled their monthly pledge. We had others that increased, you know, from 120 to 125, from 125 to 150, and basically just because they were able to surmise after. Between the last time that they had pledged and this the next time that they didn't really miss that $100 or whatever amount that they were giving, and realized that they could, without, you know, placing themselves in or their families in a financial strain, that they could increase their monthly contribution. So if we'd definitely accept that increase. Anybody that has it in their heart to do that, it's a good idea. And like I said, that was one of the things that put us over the top from our last one, was actually those who had increased their monthly pledge that they were already giving.
No doubt. And, you know, we're not making any claims that a great blessing from God is going to come your way by donating, but there is a flow of giving. There is a place of when you do have a heart that is giving, that it does bring a blessing. And I'm not saying it's just a principle of living, Mike. When you're a generous person, it's an atmosphere you create for yourself. It's kind of like possessing your own soul. And
absolutely.
And we encourage people to flow in that spirit of giving tonight and for the next 21 days as we raise the operating budget for Gospel Revolution. With Bruce getting off the phone now, we have another phone line available at 1-800-436-3260. And as we do in each and every pledge drive, well, we go an extra 30 minutes so we can take your calls and questions and comments as well as your pledges. So we are still 30 minutes from wrapping this one up. And if you're listening on the archive, please go to the gospelrevolution.com website and click on Please Donate. And please donate. Consider becoming a monthly donor if you've not done that before. And then just email us. You just go through the PayPal process and you let us know what you're going to do by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And for any gift of $100 or more, you will receive the aforementioned CD teaching, Soul Possession, the new CD teaching from Michael. Got an email from our good friend James Forehand in beautiful Corpus Christi, Texas. James contributing $200 towards the pledge drive, which we really appreciate, which brings us to $400 for the evening. Our goal is to get to $4,166 for this week. And we have a call now, believe it or not, all the way from Hong Kong. We have our friend Lee Lau calling in from Hong Kong, China. Hello, Hong Lee.
Hello, Mike and Glenn.
How are you,
hello,
my brother?
Hello, Lee. It is so good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's actually Chinese New Year today in Hong Kong.
What?
Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What,
yeah.
What year is it? The year of what this year?
The year of mouse.
That's a good year.
You're the mouse.
Yeah, I just want to thank you guys for all this gospel proclamation.
Well, thank you for contributing as always, Lee. And I know you've got a substantial gift that you want to tell Michael about.
Yes, I'm going to pledge $1,000
well,
as traditional Chinese New Year ambao.
Thank you so much. What a generous gift, and we appreciate you. And thank you for supporting the gospel. And my goodness, it's just it's a privilege to have you know, folks like you around the world and different countries that are there that are being affected by the power of this gospel. And it's really made a difference for you.
See, we were talking.
Yeah, it has. And actually, I've been sharing this gospel with my family, and it really has made an impact on my big family as well. And I really want to thank you guys for all the efforts and everything. And I want you guys to continue doing all this. And I'll do my best to support you financially.
So, Lee, did you call on the 800 number?
Yeah. I use the international direct line.
Well, it works even in Hong Kong, and the gospel and the gospel works in Hong Kong. See, we just had our friend Bruce from Kentucky saying that he was very pleasantly surprised that the gospel was working in rural Kentucky, but is working in the big cities too, in Asia and everywhere, right, Lee?
Yeah. My family has been in Singapore, in Malaysia. I think they all heard about this gospel, the redemption of the world, and it's really making a big impact on their lives. I mean, it's really the power of God, and I really thank Jesus for all this as well.
Thanks. Hey, what time is it right now?
It's about 11 a.m.
On Thursday?
On Thursday.
Well, you're calling it from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, 1,000 U.S. thank yous for that donation, Lee, and much appreciated, and Happy New Year to you. And
And thank you, guys.
Okay, Lee.
So long.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's Lee Lau from Hong Kong.
Yes.
That sounded a lot like what's your buddy's name in Singapore?
Oh, Joseph Prince.
Joseph Prince. Sounded very Joseph Prince-like, very up and positive and fun.
Absolutely.
It's a good man, Lee Lau, calling all the way from Hong Kong. All right, well, that's a good call.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing of it is that Lee is also a monthly supporter, and then to call and contribute, this is above and beyond his monthly support, contributing again over and above that $1,000 for this month's pledge drive, don't any of you put yourself in a box and think because you're contributing monthly that you can't add to this month's pledge drive, because you might have had just the extra ability to do that, or it's just in your heart to do it. Feel free.
Yes, and I think we can safely say that Lee will be receiving the CD Soul Possession for that contribution, as will you for any contribution of $100 or more. Okay, we've got both phone lines available now. So let's get somebody back on the line at 1-800-436-3260. We've got to keep Patrick Jones working. 1-800-436-3260. Wherever you are listening, if you're listening right now live, it's a little after 10 o'clock Eastern Time in the United States. And we would love to hear from you. We know you're out there. We know you want to participate. And it doesn't have to be $100. Any amount counts and is very much appreciated. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening on the archive during the course of the week, just know that your donation will be counted towards this week's goal of $4,166. We're in need of $2,766 now with the contributions that have come in tonight, and we're just waiting to hear from you. When you do, just go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage, click on Please Donate, and then go through the PayPal process, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That email address is webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and let us know what you did. And then, as I said, for $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid the brand-new teaching by Michael called Soul Possession. That, as Michael said earlier, was done at the Freedom Worship Center in beautiful Houston, Texas. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you go to the GospelRevolution.com webpage, you'll notice that there's a couple more meetings coming up here in March. And as we were talking earlier, all the information is on there, by the way. We were talking with Pep Washburn earlier that hosted Mike in Wisconsin. You can have Mike come and speak to your group, large or small. Michael, that's what he does. He goes all over and shares this wonderful gospel of grace and the gospel of peace. So here's an email that came in a while ago, Michael, from Tom. We were talking about how ministers try to prod money out of people. He wants to know, when Paula White used the Feast of Tabernacles as a revelation, do you think that she knew that it would draw cash from people before she asked them for it? Mike? Michael dropped off. Michael, you there? Well, we'll get Michael back on momentarily. A technical issue, if you will. This is Glenn Klein Online. This is the Gospel Revolution Winter Pledge Drive. We're taking your donations at 1-800-436-3260. You can call in 1-800-436-3260. And as I've said throughout the evening, if you're listening on the archive, please feel free to email us your questions and your comments and your pledges at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We're having a good night. We want to keep the momentum going here in the last 20 minutes. And certainly, as you're listening to the archive, please participate for our goal this week. We just had $50 come in from our good friend Richard Mull from California, donating $50. So that takes us to 27-16 with our goal. And we have Michael back online.
I'm here.
Apparently your phone was taking possession of its own soul.
For some reason you guys went silent on me.
Yeah,
I could hear it. It began to crackle a bit. And I was having blank spots coming through on the broadcast.
All right, well, we're back.
Here we are.
And did you hear that Richard Mull just donated $50?
Oh, awesome.
Which is fantastic.
Richard's our man. He always comes through somehow.
So that's fantastic. Did you hear the question that Tom asked or before you cut out?
Yes, I did. In fact, I was responding to it until I realized that you weren't hearing me.
we heard none of it, so start from the beginning.
I'm so glad I had time to rethink what I was saying.
take two. Did Paula White know what she was doing when she was manipulating the feast? I just kind of gave it away, didn't I?
I to think that she didn't know that people would be jump on board. I mean, that's what it was for. I mean, I can't imagine anyone thinking that she didn't think that that's what it was for. I mean, she had her website set up with this prayerful picture of her face turned toward heaven with light streaming down with a button underneath it that said, click here to give your sacrificial gift, you know. So undoubtedly. Now, to what degree that she is knowingly manipulating and control, she knows that she's just manipulating people, that's her heart. She's going to have to deal with that. It don't look good and it don't smell good. Because...
Oh, you went away again, Patty. Michael went away again. No, he dumped. We'll get him back. It ain't perfect, folks, but we do have three lines available, and we're encouraging you to use one of the three lines by calling us at 1-800-436-3260 in our remaining 15 minutes or so. 1-800-436-3260 is the first night of the Winter Pledge Drive, the Gospel Revolution. We're going to get him back on very quickly here.
A lot of the sound is like intermittent
All right, well, you're back, Michael.
Okay.
So anyway, we've determined that Paula White may very well know that what she's doing.
Yes.
Okay. Well, now they've got a three-part question here. Tom does, and the second part is probably a very quick answer, which they want to know: are there any Grace teaching Bible schools in North America?
To your knowledge. None that I know, Bible schools that I know of. You know, somebody else might know of some, but and also, Glenn, just so that Patrick can know, your voice is cutting out really bad to me.
All right, we're going to take you back offline, Michael, and get you back on quickly.
Okay.
So he will be right back with you. Did we get another call too, Pat? 1-800-436-3260. We want to hear from you. We've got about 15 minutes left here on the night number one of the Winter Pledge Drive, and we're taking your questions. We're answering your questions as we always do, but we're taking your pledges now for the operating budget of the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries for the next 90 days. We're raising $12,500 for our budget for the next 3 months. And our goal for this week is $4,166, and we're at $2,716 we need to raise yet. And, of course, for those, as I said, who are listening on the archive, you need to know that your donations are very much needed during the course of the week to get us to our goal. And please email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com so that we can recognize your gift and also add it towards the goal. We have a budget to meet, and you understand all that. And it's really your generosity and your support has really enabled this thing to continue to grow. And we've got lots more work to do. So hopefully the phone lines will stay up and running, and we'll be able to take your calls tonight at 1-800-436-3260. And for $100 more in gifts, you will receive Michael's new teaching on CD, free and postage paid, Soul Possession. This is Glenn Klein online. Patrick Jones waiting to take your call. We're going to get Michael back on the line here momentarily. And we've got lots more questions to get, but feel free to fire away your questions even yet this evening at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We come to you each and every Wednesday night with the proclamation of the good news. And as we often like to say, if there's any bad news in it, it ain't the gospel, because the gospel is nothing but good news. It's good news to know that you and the rest of the world, your loved ones, your siblings, those that have gone before, were welcomed into the loving arms of the Almighty because of the love of God and because of the blood of Christ. Regardless of what you believe or don't believe, regardless of what your church background is, it's called the redemption of the world. And we've learned over these many years that redemption and salvation are two completely separate issues. Redemption was procured at the cross by Jesus. The Bible says before the foundations of the earth, Christ was crucified. So this was in the mind of God from before the whole thing started. Why he did it this way, frankly, we have absolutely no idea. But he did do it this way, and then he manifested his love. Excuse me, he manifested his love on the cross 2,000 years ago, and because of that shed blood, we're cleansed. The understanding of that, the embracing of that, the ruminating in that, the meditating of that is called salvation. Salvation is an ongoing experience of the renewing of the mind, the Bible says. And that, if nothing else, it's the most important part of this program, is that it gives you an opportunity, and us too, frankly, every week to reconsider this whole issue anew and afresh. And it keeps us completely centered and focused on that love, and it's stabilizing. We've talked about tonight about possessing your soul. And the best way and the greatest way that I know to keep your soul possessed and focused and stabilized is through the understanding of the gospel. And it's very profound, but it's very simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but inherit the life of God, not eternal life in the sense of going to heaven, because even the evangelicals believe everybody lives forever, whether they believe or not. You either live in heaven or hell, as far as they're concerned. But what that really means is that if you believe it and if you receive it, that you receive that life of God. In other words, you receive God's heart, and staying focused on it and meditating, which all meditating means is to mutter, keeps you saved and keeps your mind being renewed and your soul being refreshed. You got Michael back with
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
That's good preaching, Roberts.
Good preaching, Roberts.
And that was the other question that Tom had. Was, and we've had many people ask this now over these last few weeks. What does good preaching, Roberts, mean? And I'm going to make a promise to you. I'm not even going to say if. When we reach our goal in 3 weeks, we will let you know exactly what good preaching Roberts means. But in the meantime, get on the phone or email us. 1-800-436. That's called a teaser in the radio business.
You're dangling the carrot.
Exactly. Are you? All right, so here's our next question. This comes from Dina. In Noblesville, Indiana, she wants to know, Michael, first of all, she says she's really thankful for Mike Williams. Amen to that, sister. And the gospel revolution has been a tremendous lifesaver for me, she says. But could you please explain, Michael, from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 14 and 18? Do you know that one by heart?
Nope.
You got a Bible handy?
I think I left it at the office.
You.
I am without my sword.
You clearly have gone into the battle without your full armor of God.
Without my sword. I was taught by everyone 30 years ago, never leave without your sword. And here I am swordless. How about you, Glenn? Can you read it to me?
I'm going to look it up while we get to the next question, but I have my sword in hand.
Awesome.
So anyway, this comes from Robert Dixon, who is from Sydney, Australia. We're hearing from all over the planet tonight. It's a beautiful thing. He said, "Hi, Mike. The other night, my wife and I were discussing whether the Bible could be used as a manual of daily living and behavior, as preached by so many churches. In thinking about that, I can't see that the Bible is relevant to our daily living. Its direction is between man and God, not to be used by man for any other purpose. This includes not as a manual for living." And then he says, "Where do the rules for living come from? What do you think?" That's Robert Dixon.
Where do the what come from?
The rules for living. Where do we get them from, if not the Bible?
Oh, our heart. Our heart. What a wonderful question, and what a wonderful observation. One of the most horrible things that the evangelical community has done is to say that, you know, the Bible is how you find out how to live your daily life. In a way it is, because he whom the Son has made set free is free indeed, but it's discovering what that freedom is and living in that freedom. And you say, well, where is the guidebook for freedom? Well, if there was a guidebook, it wouldn't be freedom, would it? So this is the power of this gospel, is to allow it to, as we talked about earlier, to stabilize the heart and allow you to live from your heart. And even though that is one of the most frightening things that people seem to have a problem embracing, and mostly because of what we've been told all of our lives, you know, quoting from the Old Testament, before we all got new hearts at the cross, it says that the heart is evil and wicked, and you can't trust it, and that's just a terrible thing. So, but that's the big difference on this side of the cross, is that truly that God himself lives in everyone's heart. You say, well, what with people that are, mass murderers, and, we've always got the groups, that people turn to. Well, those are not people that are living from their heart. They're living out of bitterness and resentment and anger and hurt, because their hearts have not been nurtured.
They may be living out of their heart, but it has been polluted for whatever reason.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing that they need to know, you say, well, how do you address that a heart that is that polluted? Is there salvation for that heart? Yes. And that is to let them know that no matter what they've done, it has not been held against them by God. That is the beginning of the salvation of the soul, is when the heart begins to accept and to turn away, accept the unconditional favor and love of God, and begin to turn away from the presumption that they have in their heart that their actions and deeds have alienated them from God.
Well, and not only whatever they've done, but whatever they will do. And people say, well, then you could just murder somebody. And I always like to say, well, do you want to murder somebody? No, I don't want to murder somebody. And I say, well, don't murder anybody then. All right,
yeah,
so I got Dina's question here from Mark 16, verses 14 and 16, and you'll see why. This is a great verse, Dina. Thank you for sending us the question from Indiana. So afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What say you, Michael?
I agree wholeheartedly, but we have taken the term damned and mixed it. They were already damned. They were already condemned in their own hearts. And that's what the term damned means. It doesn't mean sent to hell. It means they're condemned in their own thinking. And it is very true that that's why we're out preaching the gospel to everyone, because non-believers are already condemned in their heart. And as much as they would like to avoid it, it truly is. I truly believe that the only way out from a condemning heart, from a heart that condemns yourself, is through the power of the gospel. There is nothing else that relieves that condition of the heart from condemnation. Even people who say they don't believe in God, they are better off than those who believe in have a false understanding of God. I actually think that atheism is better as far as the human condition is concerned. You see people, atheists actually take more responsibility for their own lives, at least. But still, even at that, there is a disposition toward condemnation that only the gospel can address. And so I wholeheartedly agree.
And also that baptism, a lot of people would take that as to mean to be dunked in water, but what the word baptism actually means is to be immersed. And
yes, absolutely.
And if you're immersed in the gospel, if you are saturating your mind with, in other words, if you take possession of your soul, you are not going to be damned in your head.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, there's many forms of baptism. In fact, one of them is to be baptized into Christ and to be submerged into Christ, and that terminology, it means not only to be submerged in, but to be filled with. I remember giving the analogy of a drink that was out when I was a younger fellow called a boiler maker. Do you know what a boiler maker is?
Of course. I'm from Wisconsin.
Well, that's when you take a glass of beer, and then you take a shot glass and fill it with whiskey, and you drop the shot glass in the beer, and then you drink it. So that is what the term baptism literally means. It means to be filled with and submerged in. So, but the time you get the two, the submerged in and the filled with and submerged in, you don't know which is which. It's just one thing. And that is the term baptism.
And on that very spiritual note, now that you know what a Boilermaker is, if you did not know, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Winter Pledge Drive. All right, we're off to a good start, Michael. We're at to go in our goal at 27-16 for the week. Tonight, in our first night in the live webcast, we raised $1,450. Which is
that's
awesome.
More than we raised our entire first broadcast, our first pledge drive, isn't it?
That's right. Over 3 weeks, our goal was...
So we did in an hour and a half what we did in 21 days the first time.
We're moving on
awesome.
Up to the east side, to that deluxe apartment in the sky. We're the Jeffersons, ladies and gentlemen. We are the dry cleaners of the planet, cleaning up the mess that religion has left. The stain of religion, if you will. Well,
that's right, Weezy. I thought it'd be George, but I knew you'd kind of turn around and call me Weezy. So.
Well, if the dress fits, wear it. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I thought through that one.
Yes,
you're
a step ahead, and you're breaking up again. But I'm going to go through the process one more time. But, Mikey, we will do it again in 1 week's time.
Yes.
So thank you for your time and for everything
you've done
and for bearing with us with the technical issues tonight. And we will talk to you soon.
Yes, absolutely. Love you guys. Thanks.
All right, there's Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. This is Glenn Klein. We want to just remind you folks who are listening on the archive to please participate this week by going to the gospelrevolution.com website, clicking on Please Donate. Do your best donation. We're looking for $12,500 over these next 21 days, divided between $6,250 in one-time gifts and $6,250 in annual monthly giving. Let us know what you're going to do. Perhaps you'd like to increase your monthly giving. Perhaps you haven't been a monthly donator before and would like to do that. Let us hear from you this week by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you did so we can include it in the goal. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We'll recognize your gifts next week and add it to the total as we do this once a quarter, so that we can raise the operating budget for the next 3 months. That's what we're doing. It costs money, unfortunately, folks, to have the technical aspects of it and to just get the word out that the whole planet is righteous, regardless of faith, regardless of lack of faith, regardless of works, regardless of if you have ashes on your forehead tonight or not. You are good to go with God, and when you pass from this scene, you will, and we all will be ushered in to heaven. And into the righteousness and the light of God, the proverbial light down the tunnel, if you will. But when you arrive there, it's going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Want to thank Sean. How do you pronounce your last name?
O'Halloran.
Sean O'Halloran for joining us tonight and assisting in the webcast. Of course, Patrick L. Jones, the producer and engineer and call screener extraordinaire. And want to thank everybody who gave tonight. We have Pep Washburn, Bruce Gosey, James Forehand, Lee Lau from Hong Kong, and Richard Mull from California, all participating tonight. And we want to add your name to that list next week. So please, during the course of the week, let us hear from you at webcast@gospelrevolution.com as the Winter Pledge Drive rolls on. This is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!